You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Sing it.
Yeah.
Sing it, everybody. Yes. We are live. We are back. It is just after 6 p.m. Eastern time. And UFC Vegas 23 has come to an end. Marvin Vettori with a dominant decision win over Kevin Holland. And we're going to talk all about that. We're going to talk about Arnold Allen's big win. We'll talk about Mackenzie Dern's big win and everything that happened on this card. Of course, Julian Marquez's big win, his finish, his wacky call out for the second consecutive time, Daniel Rodriguez, and so much more with all of you. So bring your questions, bring your thoughts, your reactions to the card, and we will address all of them right here. I am Mike Heck. We got Jose Youngs in the building, and we got EKC Leiden on the ones and the twos. And he's got that look on his face, and I think I know why, Casey. So we will begin there. We will begin with the main event. I have to say, and you know, some people on Twitter disagreed with me. I thought Kevin Holland had a really good start to this fight. He was using space to his advantage. He was landing the heavier shots. He outstruck Marvin Vettori in the first round. I actually thought Kevin Holland won the first round. But then I thought Vettori stole all the momentum down the stretch in the round, and then he just took over the fight from there. In the end, Vettori gets the win, 50-44 on all three judges' scorecards. You don't seem overly thrilled with the Italian Dream's performance. Your thoughts on the main event?
I mean, it was a W. That's what Marvin needed. I mean, a W is all that matters in the sport, but it's not all that matters, clearly. It's just main event, national TV. Marvin Vettori was going against a short-notice, undersized middleweight, and it was a fight. It was a fight. He out-wrestled a not-so-good welterweight that can't wrestle that well. I don't know. Nothing in that 25 minutes did I ever cross my mind and say, you know what, Marvin should rematch Izzy. Definitely. Never crossed my mind. It was actually like, that's so far out of my mind now. Now, yeah, it was a victory for Marvin. Congratulations to him. And thanks, Kevin Holland, for saving the main event. Don't have very much else.
I'll tell you, I thought like in the second round, Vettori had him mounted, almost had him in an arm triangle. He had him in big trouble. It was I have to go and look at the scorecards, but that might have been the 10-8 round on the judges' cards. But yeah, from there, it just kind of turned into a little more of an aggressive version of what Derek Brunson did a couple of weeks earlier. I mean, the big question coming. Yeah. I mean, early on, I was like, man, I pretty much nailed this fight exactly how it was going to go. But yeah, it was kind of more Brunson-esque and less Vettori-esque. But listen, for a middleweight that size, to put that kind of pressure and that kind of pace on is impressive. But if you're looking to get up there with Adesanya and get him to say your name and not say Darren Till's name, probably wasn't the performance he was looking for. He still thinks he deserves a title shot. But honestly, I hate to do on to the next one stuff now, but I think you should fight Derek Brunson. I think that's the fight to make.
Yeah. Whoever Marvin fights next, it's not going to be for the title. That's all.
No.
It's not going to be for the title. That's me. I even kind of said it. It's like, I've never seen someone get a W in a main event and actually kind of, he might even move backwards in the ranking somehow. I don't even know. But, I mean, if the winners tonight were basically Darren Till and Robert Whittaker and Kelvin Gastelum, you know, in the sense that those guys, I think, have a better chance of getting that next opportunity at the belt. I think, unfortunately for Marvin, yeah, it's a W, and he's going to kind of just tread water in the rankings wherever he's at right now.
Yeah, he says he wants to fight Adesanya in October, so
okay.
I think he's probably going to have to take another – I think he's probably going to have to get another win, maybe two, to get in that conversation at this
point. The Brunson fight makes sense, yeah, total, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, like, take anything away from Vettori, because the guy went in there, short notice. He could have easily said no to this fight and – people would have been like, I get it, man. You go from Darren Till to Kevin Holland. Like, Darren Till, there's a lot more on the line. There's a lot more at stake. You can gain a lot more from it.
Yeah.
Jose leaves.
Yeah. The main event was that bad. Jose was like, I'm out. Even after it was done. Yeah.
And beating Kevin Holland, like, in the grand scheme of things, people love those numbers and the rankings. It doesn't do a whole lot for him, especially if he gets a decision win. So, Jose, you know, your thoughts on Vittori's performance and just the main event overall?
It was a fight, and Marvin won, and there's no arguing against it. But, like, you guys pretty much already all said it. He's not going to get a title shot. The only way he's going to get a title shot is if he fills in on the last minute, and he's like he volunteers. He pulls a Kevin Holland. But that's about it, because he didn't take a lot of damage in this fight. So, like, but he also cuts a lot of weight, so I don't know if he'd ever even be that fighter. So I like the Brunson fight. I like the Paulo Costa fight. I like either one of those fights because I know Brunson has called out Paulo Costa. But if Paulo's can't fight anytime soon, also Jared Cannonier is still hanging out there. I know he had surgery and he got hurt or shattered his ulna bone or whatever. So he comes back and they want a third. Because what, is Cannonier still third, like three in the rankings? So, like, he's still top five. So, yeah, Marvin's not going to get a title shot, but I would not say no to any of those fights. Or if they just rebook the Darren Till fight, because there's a lot of heat there too between them. So, yeah, fine with whatever. But, yeah, you guys already said everything else.
Yeah, I mean, what else can we say? I mean, we this is one of those main events we don't spend 15 minutes on, because it was what it was. You know what I mean? And nothing really changed.
Well, if anything, I mean, I was actually kind of I'm disappointed is not the right word, but I was surprised at what a much more dangerous striker Holland was than Vittori. I kind of expected I expected the stand up to be more even, but you know, clearly if that fight if Holland was able to stuff the takedowns, I mean, that's a big if and a very important if. But if he was able to, he would have won that fight. He would have at least decisioned. Vittori just based on his striking, but the gap in the wrestling was just so ginormous that, yeah, I mean, that's about it. I was just kind of let down on, in terms of, you know, can Marvin beat Izzy? Should Marvin fight for the title? The fact that he was getting, in my opinion, pretty pieced up by a tired Kevin Holland, that's not good, you know, in terms of, you know, his title aspirations. I mean, he might get better. Maybe it's just a bad night. Marvin looks super. Marvin looked, he looked like he had better cardio when he fought 25 minutes short notice against Hermanson. Hermanson. Yeah.
I think the only thing I would say to that is Vittori was slated to fight Jacare, if I'm not mistaken, before he filled in as Hermanson. The week after. Now, Hermanson and Jacare, they're both grappling-based fighters. So it's not difficult to just, you know, just focus on a different person. Till is a southpaw counter striker that you have to kind of bait in, and that is not Kevin Holland at all. He's going to press forward. So maybe just the last minute complete stylistic change and stance change of play to factor. Like, he just wasn't, like, his cardio was there, but it was like when you train for a specific fighter, if you're going to fight Khabib, you're going to just get your grappling on point and you're going to be good there with cardio. So maybe just the cardio wasn't there because that is not what he was training for. But I'm not going to try to make excuses because he won the fight at the end of the day. I'm not trying to make excuses for him.
I'm kind of surprised. I mean, in previous main events, kind of lackluster main events, I'm not sure what, maybe it was Alexander Rakic, when DC was kind of going hard in the paint that you need more than the W, you know, you gotta show Dane, you gotta show the fans, you know, something. And I'm surprised they kind of didn't go, you know, heavy in the paint on that with Marvin tonight, because that's what these main events are for. These are showcases, you know. If Marvin can talk all he wants after the fight or before the fight in his interviews, but you still got to show up, and I don't know. Something was just not there tonight in that main event.
Do we want to play the guess who wins a bonus game?
Oh, that's easy. Okay, yeah. Okay, fight of the night.
They're not out yet, so I figure.
Okay,
go ahead.
Fight of the night is going to go to where is it? Oh, McDessie and how do you say that guy's name? Ignacio, and since Ignacio didn't make weight, John McDessie should make 100K, because that was a freaking fantastic fight. And I hope Ignacio actually goes up to 170 because he looks too big for 155. And Dern, performance of the night. And who gets out of the performance? Oh, the heavyweight dude. The heavyweight.
Maybe Marquez because he put a guy to sleep.
Ah, nah. Dono. That guy knocked out DeCastro. That knockout was incredible.
Yeah.
But
Gamrot could get it.
Yeah. If they don't go fight of the night, I hope McDessie gets the full fight of the night bonus. That's my guess.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll throw Impa a bone. I mean, the dude got like posterized. Like he's gonna be on the receiving end of highlight reel knockout for the rest of his life. Like every UFC like promotional package ever will have Impa Kasang and I getting knocked out by Joaquin Buckley on it. And then he goes out there, drops a weight class, and puts away Sasha Palatnikov early in the second round to kick things off. I think you just throw him a bone anyways. Just give him one.
Every fighter should be getting some sort of bonus for a finish. And we'll talk about it later. But yeah, the Dern submission was just great, just super great. And
dude, she's a problem. She's a big problem.
We'll talk about it, yeah. And that knockout of DeCastro by the Man Mountain, what's his name? Man Mountain. Oh my good Lord, what a perfect nickname. And he sounds like Man Mountain. Like, how would you describe Man Mountain? Like, oh, there you go.
Yeah, as soon as he spoke, it was like a 90s pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Like a pro wrestling heel. Like, if you named a guy Man Mountain, that's what he would sound like.
I don't even know his story. Like, he was out for like 2 years or longer than that. I know nothing about him. It's like, who is that guy? I mean, oh, he just murdered a man. He's getting paid for it.
Yeah, that was a bad knock. That was a scary knockout. No doubt about it. That was his. Wow. That was his first fight since UFC Fight Night 93 in September of 2016.
What was the main event on that?
Don't tell me.
Oh, let's play that. You want to play this game? Okay, go for it. Fight Night 93. If you get this will be like ridiculous. This will be ridiculous. Did you look it up, Casey?
Yeah, I looked at the crazy part. I was there. Actually, I interviewed these guys. I didn't even remember. Yeah, I was at this event.
This is first fight since UFC Fight Night 93 or first win?
First fight.
That was first fight.
MMA Fighting covered it.
Was it?
It's a very well-known fight night.
Was it in the U.S.?
No.
Arlovski Barnett?
Nope.
Yes, what it was.
It? Oh, am I looking at the wrong one? Oh, my God.
You just say nope, and then I'm right?
You are right.
What a jet. I'm like,
Josh Barnett.
Oh, you know, the draw right above it. I'm looking at the one that he lost right below it. Like, I've seen the point is I've seen the man fight before. It was too foreign. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking his first UFC fight. Sorry.
Alexander Gustafsson beat Jan Blachowicz in the co-main event. Ryan Bader knocked out Alir Latifi.
Yeah, because I think UFC Fight Night 100 was Bader and Lil Nog. And I think that was Bader's last UFC fight.
Jack Hermansson was on the early prelims. Got a win over Scott Askham.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was Hamburg.
Early morning fight. That was one of those cards that just dragged forever.
No, I was gonna say his Man Mountain's first fight was on the Silva Bisping card in London.
Yeah, O2 Arena. Another early card.
Well, what are the peeps saying right now? We'll talk about. I'm sure we're gonna talk about all this stuff anyways. But as we wait, the bonuses to be announced.
All right, let me hold on one moment.
Let's see if the peeps have any energy to bring us.
What we got here?
Arnold Allen and Sadiq Youssef was a great fight. It was like everything I hoped for. Good stuff. Arnold Allen's a problem.
Yeah, I did like Arnold Allen. Coming into the fight, I was definitely much higher on Allen than Yusef. And Allen didn't like blow me away, but it was a very good performance. It was a good fight and a good performance from Allen for sure.
Yusef's ability to recover is super impressive because he got clipped.
Oh yeah,
at least twice, real bad. Mackenzie Dern just beat top five competition in Nina Nunes. Do you think she's ready for contenders like Carla Esparza and Yan Xianan? I will tell you what, I was talking to AK privately on our Slack channel, and then I talked to Damon Martin about this as well. I wanted Mackenzie Dern to call Ioane and Jacek right in that moment. Like, just be like, you don't have to say like, you know, you stole everything that I've worked for, I want to fight your ass. Like, none of that. Just be like, you know what? Ioana's not busy. I'll fight her. That's who I want. Like, all due respect, I want to fight Ioana. She probably would get that fight. Like, she'd probably get a fight of that level. But now that she didn't do that, I don't think she's going to get a fight that high. I think she'll get a good one. I think she's going to get a really tough test. But I think if she said somebody's name, she probably would have got it after a performance like that. But what do you think?
I don't think it even mattered. I think Dern is such a high priority for the matchmakers, and matchmaking her correctly to get her a legitimate title shot sometime soon. I think she's fine. Did she call anyone out, or was it one of those, oh, whatever Joe Silva says?
She said, I'll fight anybody in the top 10, but I would prefer hopefully in the top 5.
Yeah.
Now she's going to fight Marina Rodriguez.
No, UFC won't do that.
I mean, that fight rules, but it's not going to
happen.
It's a good
fight.
UFC won't do that.
You don't think so? Why?
Because they love
Mackenzie. They just matched Rodriguez up with Amanda Ribas. Why would they not put her up with Dern?
Wasn't that a short notice fight, though? Like, that wasn't the original matchmaking they had?
Well, Ribas was supposed to fight Esparza. Then she was going to fight Watterson. Then Watterson got it. It was probably like a month.
Yeah,
it wasn't like slotted in a week.
I just don't think they wanted Ribas to fight Marina. It just kind of fell into their lap because it was the last minute kind of thing. And so, like, they wanted Amanda to beat Carla for sure.
I think if the UFC books Dern versus Ioana, that will without a doubt, you know, give Dern a legitimate, you know, contendership at the fight for the title next. Just by rankings, if you go by the UFC rankings, what Dern did tonight, she's justifiably can get a title shot. So who knows? I don't think they will. I don't think Dern should do that. But if she's willing to fight on a certain date for a certain amount of money, and you know, Ioana or whoever else, you know, isn't ready, then I don't see why not. Man, but Dern looked freaking amazing. What just great matchmaking. Just great matchmaking by the UFC to have Dern face someone that's been out of the cage for 2 years. Oh, did we freeze? Oh.
You did.
Now we're back. Okay. I think we're back. We're
yeah.
We have bonuses.
Not only out for 2 years, pushed a human being out of her body.
Yeah.
like, come on. All right, what are the bonuses? Hit me.
All right. Performance of the night. Mackenzie Dern.
Mm-hmm.
Mateusz Gamrot.
Camera.
That's it.
Fight of the night.
There's only two performance bonuses?
Yeah, it's always been two. Just, yeah, and it's
just two performance bonuses. Fight of the night. Sam Alvey versus Julian Marquez.
What?
Okay.
What? God dang it. What the heck? Dude, that was like one of the best striking. God damn. God.
that was, listen.
It was a fight. That was sure.
Jed Meshew just tweeted, look at your boy call it. Yep.
Fucking shit.
Nailed it. That was a scrap. But yeah, I thought McDessie Bahamandez is better.
Yeah. And, man. I know.
just a disappointing night.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go with that one.
Wow.
K Gamrot, though.
There you go.
Coming in hot.
Making some pulling questions.
The Marlon Moraes out and just getting this violent win to rebound.
Yep. He looked good. He looked really good.
He looks great.
His striking's getting so much better.
Gamrot?
Yeah. He's awesome.
I can't wait for
like him to get like these high level lightweights. Because when he was in KSW, I wanted him, like, they should have signed him way earlier than they did. I was like fantasy matchmaking him in the UFC for too long, and now we can finally get some of these fights.
What's one of them?
I really wanted him to fight when Gillespie was on the rise and he was on the rise. I was like, make that happen. I really wanted Gamrot to fight Kevin Lee for a bit, just because that would just be a scrap. Oliveira was one for a long time. Obviously, he's not going to get Oliveira. Felder would be awesome. That's not going to happen. There's like a million fights. Like, I remember when Gaethje joins the lightweight division, and then Gamrot joins, and then Chandler joins, they had literally taken the three lightweight champions that I was like, I need these three to just fight each other. But obviously, Gamrot was on a smaller level in terms of eyeballs and like rankings, but I still want to see those fights down the road for sure.
Yeah, he looked good. Very exciting. Let's see. What was that question, Casey? What is next for Arnold Allen? Personally, I think he should face Josh Emmett or the loser of Zombie Ige. I will cross Josh Emmett off this list because I spoke with Josh maybe about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and his recovery is taking a lot longer than he had hoped. He's had some setbacks. So he said basically perfect world, he fights in December. So just judging by just history and how he sounded and how he was explaining things, I'll be surprised if he fights in 2021. So I would say Emmett is out of this conversation. Zombie Ige, perhaps, who knows? But what would you like to see next for Arnold Allen, Jose?
I do like the loser of or the winner, I don't care, of the Zombie Ige fight, because like that's a fun fight. The only problem, like, though, it sucks that Allen kind of got stuck during this pandemic. Like, he wasn't able to fight because he was stuck in the UK and a lot of his fights fell out. So it's not his fault he was inactive, but they just said it. He has the longest win streak in the division. Like, throw him against Zabit. Like, if Zabit just wants to come back, why not make that fight happen? Like, does it make sense ranking-wise? No, but I think Arnold Allen deserves a massive name at this point. So either of those three, Ige, Zombie, Zabit, Cater, I'm not going to say no to Arnold Allen and Calvin Cater if Calvin Cater wants to return, because I think Calvin's the lowest-ranked fighter that is closest to Arnold in the ranking-wise. So, like, they might be right there. So wouldn't hate that either. And, yeah, any of those. Like, lightweight rules, obviously, or featherweight rules, obviously. So fill in the blank against Arnold Allen in the top 15, and I'll watch it.
So you don't think there's any chance Allen fights anyone behind him? Like, his next fight has to be someone in front of him?
He might have to, but, like, Calvin is in front of him, and if Calvin wants to return anytime soon and he's healthy, that fight makes sense, because Calvin probably wants to come back and get a guy on a hot streak, too. He doesn't want to just get – fight someone so lower than him, but I wouldn't say no to Arnold Allen and Edson Barboza. And Edson Barboza is going to be ranked lower than him. But who's Barboza fighting next?
Burgos.
So, like, the winner of that too, like, I don't care. He might have to fight someone ranked lower than him. That's just unfortunate, but it is what it is.
What's going on with Bryce Mitchell?
Didn't he have surgery? Wasn't he hurt or had surgery or something?
I know he hurt his hand or his arm or something in the Feely fight.
Okay.
Trying to prove that's
find someone a little behind him.
I think getting a win over a guy like Yusev puts him ahead of Bryce. But, like,
I mean, he's ahead of Bryce, but
I'd say he's like two wins ahead of Bryce Mitchell right now, in my opinion.
I agree.
In a division this tight, like, I think he would take if Barboza beats Burgos, I think he'd be happy to take Barboza. He would fight Barboza.
But would Barboza be happy to take Allen, though? That's the thing.
I think he would.
Hell yeah, he would. Because
he would be ranked
Allen's a top 10 guy.
He would be ranked higher than Barboza. So Barboza would be fighting up.
All right.
Exactly.
I also selfishly have been calling for ever since they fought on the same card, I want Barbosa to fight Giga Chikadze really bad. So I don't want that fight taken away from me. That fight is my new zombie Brian Ortega fight. I'm going to speak that into existence. We're going to get it 4 years late.
I was just going to say, we'll get it in 2025. 100%. So mark that. Mark your calendars. Mark your calendars. But Arnold Allen is in a good position. I'm with you, Jose. Give him Zabit. Zabit's been gone for a while. We're slowly getting to 2 years now. I think that's a good test. You know, give him.
Zabit makes the most sense. Zabit makes the most sense with his him being out for so long. That's the one that makes the most sense. But we'll see what happens. Who knows?
Yeah, he played that. I was going to call somebody in the top five out, but I didn't feel like my performance was good enough for it. Like, just say it. Just say it. Zabit, let's go.
See, Arnold Allen needs that confidence that Marvin Vettori has. Marvin Vettori just fought 25 minutes on national TV in a fight that, you know, for the last 15 minutes, we were all looking down at our phone, looking up, looking down, you know, and he still comes out like, where are you at, Izzy? I'm like, I admire that man's confidence. So that's what Arnold Allen needs.
He walked out and Dominic Cruz like, no, this guy, he legitimately thinks he's the champion. Like, he legitimately thinks he's the middleweight champion right
Where's
now.
Where's the belt?
You can see it in his eyes. You can't teach that kind of confidence. You just can't. You either have it or you don't. He's got it. I like Marvin Vettori. He wasn't that angry. He was angry after once he got kicked in the ding ding. I thought he was going to turn green and start pounding. I thought he was going to start tearing the cage apart, but very composed in there.
So can we throw away the myth or whatever that Kevin Holland had a mental breakdown during Brunson now that he was talking? I mean, I didn't believe that crap anyway, but I mean, he didn't talk almost at all. And I was like, come on, Kevin. Like, when you're losing the fight, that is the best time to talk crap. I love that. It's like, but he kind of, you know, kept to himself for the most part. And I was like, come on, Kevin.
He picked his spots in the fight. He picked his spots. Like, when they were grappling against the cage, like Holland was talking to him a little bit. It came out at different points, but I don't know.
Whoa, what happened?
Oh, the window. We just opened the window.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
Oh. Kind of.
Well, what maybe. Happened? Oh, man. My layers got all messed up. There we go. All right. No, wait. I have a random. What is that random bar right here? What is going on?
Technology.
Oh, okay. I see what's going on. Yeah. Whoops.
Hey. Da-na-na-na.
All right.
Between the links theme. All right. What else we got? But hopefully the answer to Arnold Allen's question is very soon. Like Arnold Allen versus whoever, very soon. Not another not another 14 months.
Yeah.
Lots of John questions here.
Yeah. He jumps in first, man.
Yeah. I heard from some folks saying, like, come on, let's space it out a little bit. But Daniel Rodriguez looked great. He sure did. What is next for him? Do you think he's ready to challenge top 15 competition? Personally, I'm down for Rodriguez to face Carlos Condit or Robbie Lawler next.
Ooh.
What do you think about that idea, Jose Youngs?
Ooh, I hadn't even thought about a Robbie Lawler fight. I don't hate it considering Mike Perry was booked to fight Robbie Lawler at one point and then Rodriguez just beat him. I wouldn't hate him against Tim Means either. That would be a scrap too.
They already fought.
Those are like that's true.
Yeah, that was Rodriguez's big kind of coming out party.
You're right.
Yep.
Jeff Neal wouldn't be a bad fight either.
Neal on Neal's happening.
Neal's booked up too. Neal on Neal. I don't know then. Like, I like the Lawler fight. F it. Make it happen.
That's a good one.
What's Nico Price doing?
That might be the answer right there, my friend.
Why don't we do a big style, a big clash of styles? Danny Rodriguez versus Sean Brady. I mean,
Brady's ranked. Loser, he wants to be
loser
fight.
Picks. Then loser gets the tattoo of the other's choice.
Yeah. Other stuff. I mean, but like Robbie Lawler, Carl. I don't know where Carl. I thought Carlos is booked.
Isn't no.
Hard? No? Okay. You know what? But both those fights mentioned, I don't know if Condit or Lawler takes those fights. just because maybe, I don't know. Let's talk about that fight. Did Rodriguez look good or did Mike Perry look bad?
What really impressed me with Rodriguez is his jab was on point the whole time. Like, he's kind of messed up his nose with his jab. And when Perry would get, like, wobbled, Rodriguez would not just unload. Like, he just kept the pressure, but it wasn't like, I'm going to blow my gas tank trying to finish this guy. Like, he was very patient in there. So I don't think he looked bad. He looked good, but he showed me a lot that he answered questions that I had, if that makes sense. I don't think it was like a star-making performance, but he definitely answered questions. What's Miguel Baeza doing? Does he have a fight? That'd be fun. I don't think they make that fight.
That's a fun fight, too.
I don't think they make that.
What do we think of Mike Perry, though?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He needs...
Was that two in a row? The only one he's beat is... Was the last one over Mickey Gall?
Yeah, I know. It's... I looked at the streak earlier. It was not good.
That's rough.
I had a friend over here watching the fights with me, and she plays this game. She doesn't really follow the sport, but she pays attention. And she says every time the commentators start mentioning how tough someone is, she knows that person's absolutely getting their butt kicked.
Yeah,
and so by the first round they were talking about how that's all Dom the commenters were talking about how tough Mike Perry is. It's like, ooh, you are getting your butt kicked because we're not talking about how tough Danny Rodriguez is.
Mike Perry's won 3 out of his last 10 fights. Oh.
But it's not even that. He just looked flat tonight. Like, the whole, even when Mike Perry loses, is still exciting. Tonight was one of those weird fights where even in a loss, it was just like, okay, that was just weird. I just saw a guy get beat up for 15 minutes, kind of. And then, yeah. And then, like, yeah.
He fights again? Do you think we see him again?
At least one more.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he looked really bad before, and he had stuff going on in his life that was probably enough to lose your job, and Dana White still kept him around.
Yeah, I mean, the Means fight wasn't bad. The Neil fight was, I mean, the Luque fight was phenomenal. And yes, he just, when you have fights like that, sometimes you come back better. Sometimes you're never the same, and... I think that Luque fight might have, you know, taken a little bit away from him.
That's good observation. These one-sided, these wars, but they're really just one-sided, just beatings on Mike Perry's face. I mean, mm-hmm. he's still a human being. He's still a person. So his body, I hate throwing washed or shot out there because I don't know. It feels just kind of mean to say that, but. I feel like the best Mike Perry that we saw in the UFC, that's long gone, and now we just a bit of a shell now.
What's Mike Perry's best win?
Felder, I think. Well, I know Felder. I think that was his most prominent win. I know it probably.
Yeah. Cowboy Oliveira. That was a good fight.
I think it might have been that one because he took that one like he filled in like super quick for that one, didn't he? Didn't he take that fight in like a week's notice, the Cowboy Oliveira fight?
I don't know.
Wasn't that one he stepped in on short notice?
I don't remember. I don't think so. That was on the Florida card, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to fight Li Jinglang, and then Perry stepped in instead.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew he stepped in short notice. Because I remember reacting to that fight and being like, right, wow.
So maybe that one?
Like, maybe, yeah.
Win. Yeah. The Felder fight, Felder like shattered his arm in the first round. So he basically fought Mike Perry with one hand.
And it was super competitive too, from what I remember, yeah.
And that's just because, who was Felder supposed to fight on that card?
I thought Felder was filling in for someone. Because he came with 170.
No, I think they both lost their opponents, and they were like, F it, let's fight each other.
Oh, one of those, okay.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yep, that's exactly what happened. Yeah, that was Yeah. I feel like
it was supposed to be Yancey Medeiros and Mike Perry.
Split with Luque might have been his best achievement in the UFC. That fight was so ridiculous.
That was a
what a
fight.
Wild fight that was. That was nuts. I feel like I don't know how to like I feel like Mike Perry is trying to be like too technical in there. You know what I mean? Like we're missing the Mike Perry that like came into the UFC that just like his sole goal was to just like annihilate people. Like street fight style, go in there and just throw bombs. And I feel like we don't that guy just, and I get it. Like as you get older and as you're battle tested and you have all these different fights and these wars, you lose some of that. And you're trying to like kind of avoid getting those crazy scraps. So that was what Mike Perry was at his best. When he first came to the UFC, just throwing hams at people, talking about his story and just like, Mike Perry just kind of reminds you of a guy, like if you saw him on the street, like, I don't want to go near this guy. He's crazy. I feel like the guy who's seen the last three fights is not really that guy anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's just the war with Luque just took that out of him, like we talked about earlier. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I think he'll get one more fight. At least, yeah, who knows, though? Wafu. Okay. Do-do-do-do-do.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like another let's get another welterweight over.
Yeah, pretty much like that. Yeah.
Okay, I knew you were gonna pull this question up at some point, Casey. Did you see the best of the world, Adelaide Bird, give that beautiful 30-27 to Joe Selecki over Jim Miller? I didn't have as big a problem with that scorecard as a lot of other people did.
Me neither. I'm on your side, Mike. I gave it to Miller, but coming out of that round, I was like, that could go either way. So
Look at the numbers. Selecki outstruck him. Yeah, and Selecki pulled guard, didn't he?
Exactly. He pulled guard. So he's actually controlling the position. He's bringing Jim Miller into his guard. It wasn't Jim Miller taking him down and putting Selecki in a place he didn't want to be. Selecki chose to be there on his back. And that is and I think we get the idea just because you're in your back doesn't mean you're losing the round. I think just by default we assume that, but it doesn't mean that. And actually, I kind of respect Miss Bird for giving it to Selecki because I thought Selecki was winning the round up till he pulled guard. And then once he pulled guard, it was kind of a stalemate. And no real submissions were thrown, no real significant damage from either guy was done. So I would have given the round to Selecki, to be honest. Now that I kind of rethink it. But it wasn't a crazy score. I was surprised people were kind of all worked up about it.
That wasn't even close to being the worst scorecard of the night. Not even close. There were some bad scorecards. There were some splits that like should not have been splits.
I saw 10,000 trying to go back. Remember? Week, so remind me.
the McDessie one was one of them.
I had 30-27 for McDessie. Yeah, I remember two. How the other guy got two rounds is kind of crazy. But it was all competitive 30-27. Wasn't a blowout rounds, but yeah.
Yeah, that one for sure stuck out.
Oh, it's about Jordan. I know what you're talking about. I think I got a question on this later. Dude, I got to find it. Here we are.
Oh yeah, this is another one. Jordan Griffin lost to Luis Saldana to be one. Was Adelaide Bird a judge? Was she the judge for that fight?
I don't know if she's. I can look real quick. I don't know if she was the judge. I had it for Griffin, but I didn't watch it super close. So you know, where are we at? Oh, Adelaide Bird was a judge on that fight, and she did give it to Saldana.
Yeah.
Who gave it? All three judges?
Not a Rob. I thought if they said it for Griffin, I think I scored it for Saldana, but was like, if Griffin wins, like I have no problem with it. It was a close fight.
MMA decisions, the only two journalists to give it to Saldana are Sean Sheenan and Matthew Wells. Both enemies of this Brian Duggan. They're both friends.
I can tell you from going through doing Twitter reacts for the site that the vast majority of fellow fighters thought Griffin won.
Okay. I thought Griffin won too. I think but Griffin thought no, he won like, too.
There was no this big like, oh, that's outrageous. They were like, well, I guess like good thing I'm not a judge type, you know.
Hate to be a judge.
Yeah.
Hashtag Jared Gordon.
Yeah.
Guess I'm a shitty judge because I thought Jordan won that fight.
All right. Okay. Here,
it's good
here,
scrap though.
Here's the one thing that will be remembered in the future. The history books will remember about this card. It's the debut.
Where yes, I gotta tell you, like after looking at the photos and like us talking about it on different shows, but actually like seeing them in the octagon tonight, I dug them. I thought they looked pretty damn good. I liked the different look, the different design. Like, it wasn't like exactly like Reebok. It had like some different flair to them. I liked them, and I don't know who gave Julian Marquez his shorts, but geez Louise, dude. Like those things are like, those are super short. we're borderline like 80s pro wrestling here. We're getting to that level. But yeah, I thought they looked pretty cool.
My big issue. Okay. I'm not even going to go into how this is just fight uniforms and fight sports. It's just stupid, but we got uniforms. So I'm just going to go with that. The fangs are cool, but man, are we going to have fangs for the next, 5 years, 6 years? Is every shorts going to just, everything's just fangs? And I think on some fighters they work, but guys like Jim Miller, it's like, come on, Jim Miller should be wearing like cargo shorts or something. I don't know. That just those like stylish, you know, fangs and stuff just look weird on Jim Miller. I just didn't get it. You know, I just wish they had more variations. I get, you know, oh, it's clean and stuff, but yeah, I don't know, but change it up, you know, just have some different versions of it. Just everything is that. That's all. Everything is, you know, fangs.
Venom.
But yeah. Oh, but I will say this. For I would need a female fighter, but it appeared for the female fighters that the Venom outfits did look much better. They fit better. And they were like, you watch in the previous Reebok outfit, like all the women are always, you know, kind of readjusting their sports bras and stuff. And it seemed like in this fight, they seemed fine. So good.
Jose, on Between the Links Thursday, you gave a very passionate speech about the Venom gear, and you said, I could care less. I don't care. Pay the fighters more money. I don't care. Now that you see them, you probably still don't care, but do you like them better than Reebok? Did they stick out to you at all?
They wore shorts. They didn't fall off. They were functional. That's the most important thing. Like they were more functional. And yeah. Like I think that was, like I said that when they first announced it. Like Venom has been making fight kits and gear for a long time. Like Casey, do you remember the old Fan Expos? They had one of the biggest booths there. Like they were selling gear. Yeah. Like they were like Jose Aldo and Shogun and all those Brazilians would wear them. So when they announced this, I'm like, oh, at least it's like Nike and Under Armour are big names, but Venom has actually been making gear that is functional for an MMA fight for a long time. So that is a big positive act. So they know what they're doing. In terms of the design, I fully expect things to change. Like we saw the Reebok was the same thing for about a year, and then there were slight variations moving forward. Like they added subtle designs. It wasn't anything groundbreaking or write home about, but it is what it is. Again, whatever. Just give the fighters more money. That's all I would honestly care about. But they looked better than the Reebok's debut. I'll say that. So yes, like when sure. Reebok came out, so Reebok's first fight card and Venom's first fight card, Reebok blew them out of the water. But I don't really. I'm not buying any of them, so it doesn't bother me.
Casey, you should start tweeting about the Venom gear like all throughout the next card. You might actually get on the broadcast.
I will.
All the Venom tweets got on the broadcast. All of them.
All the positive they all made ones. It. All the positive ones. All right.
Oh man. We got that question.
Oh yeah, sorry. Right? I already answered that one. Sorry about that. Oops. Two. Oh, here we go.
Ooh. This is an interesting question. Who had the best fight card this week? One Bellator or the UFC? Storyline wise, it's one, right? And I'm not saying better, but like what we're talking about, like days later, it's one, right? Like it has to be.
Flowing into, yeah, storyline wise, definitely one, even though that was probably the most disastrous event in terms of, you know, marketing, but story wise, yeah, which is very weird to say. A disaster event, their disastrous event turned out to be the best event, storyline wise. I thought all three cards had a lot of potential, and none of the three cards hit that potential. So, 9-9 round for everyone.
I give one 9.5. Yeah. 9.5, 9.9. I don't know. I'll go with that. Bellator was fine.
It was fine. It's just too many decisions. It's just decision after decision. Even though they weren't bad fights, it was just another decision. And I didn't get
Forge
chance.
Forge Kennedy was a lot of fun.
I thought the two featherweight fights were really excited for coming this weekend. I thought both those fights, while they didn't like, you know, go fight of the year type fights, they both met my expectations as far as just two top level featherweights punching each other. And and I thought Allen and Borch both proved to be the better fighters those nights. And both of them did well.
I'll say, in terms of social numbers, because I'm running the Instagram and Twitters and everything, one had by far generated the most engagement in terms of conversation. So, like, the most comments and replies and, you know, like, actual fan interaction and, like, contributing to the conversation. Kat Zingano's win did the biggest between in terms of likes in terms of one UFC and Bellator. But... so she had about, like, I'll say, like, 12,000 combined likes across all the media for, like, announcing her win. But Mackenzie Dern has almost hit the same number in the 3 hours since she's won. So she should, by the end of the day, Mackenzie should be the most engaged winner of the three cards. But in terms of all three cards, in terms of fan interaction, it is one and then – UFC and Bellator are like way underneath them.
Wow.
It's just because there was so much talking points coming out of one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why.
Oh, sure.
And it's also a lot of like, I posted I kind of threw together like a couple graphics on Twitter reacts for Eddie's and Demetrius's losses. And like, for example, Kat Zingano, like Ryan Bader's win had 90 comments total on Instagram. Demetrius Johnson's loss had 1,400 comments on it. So, like, that tells you. And, like, Eddie Alvarez had almost 800. And then PFL had 20 comments on Rory McDonald and Curtis Millender being announced. So that tells you where that's sitting right there. Yeah. And then Marvin Vettori has almost 200 comments right now, but it's all, like, Darren Till would have won. That's all the comments. That's literally all of them.
I love MMA fans. They're just the best.
It's ridiculous.
Just the best.
In terms of views, too, like Eddie Alvarez reacting to the loss almost has 60,000 views on just Instagram. That blew everything else out of the water. And like even Mackenzie's like interviews with you did well. For a fight night, but they weren't even close to the reaction that one championship had.
Yeah. That's so one win.
people are now gonna tune in. Also, I would say they're the big winner because they made their debut on a major network in the United States. I think that's like a huge win for the promotion business wise.
Sure. The ratings weren't that great, but who cares? Nope. You got to start somewhere.
They gotta put it in front of AEW. They gotta put it before. I know it's hard being in Asia. It's hard to time it. They gotta put it before AEW.
They've been talking about having a North American show for a while, right? Or
I think I had been hearing they were gonna open like an LA office for a long time. But then I assume the pandemic kind of threw a wrench in a lot of things. Because remember we interviewed what's his name, the president of KSW in Las Vegas, Casey. And he had, I don't know if you've seen this video yet, Mike. I don't think you had joined the site, but he had been talking with Bellator to put a co-promoted event in Chicago. And they wanted like Phil DeFreeze and Ryan Bader to fight. And I was like, oh my God, give me that fight. Because Chicago has such a big Polish population in the United States, and that's what they wanted to test. But he goes, of course, the only difference is money and which champions fight which champions. And it obviously didn't happen.
Yeah.
Martin Lewandowski, that's his name.
Yep.
All right.
And I asked him, if you watched it, I asked him about Gamera. I'm like, where's Gamera? Why is he not fighting?
Oh, I remember now. Okay, yeah. Because remember you were talking about a fight I never heard of. I didn't hear about the case. Now everything's coming back now. Got it.
I was like, where is he? Why is he not on my television?
Dude, I've been hearing his name Gamera for so long from you. And then I saw his first fight, and it was a good fight. But yeah, he showed up tonight. Against a very good competitor.
I was surprised after the preview show when I kind of said that there a lot of people thought Gamrot beat Guram, but I didn't think it was a robbery, and a lot of people agreed. I didn't think there were that many people that thought Gamrot had won that fight. It was so close. Guram just kicked him to hell because Guram walked in limping from all the kicks he threw. Yeah. And then he wanted to fight Islam in 5 days, and I was like, this guy. That guy, they should have given him the Khamzat treatment.
Yeah. I mean, you come out and say, yeah, I lost. I didn't even win. Matush, you should have won. I'll fight Islam next week. Yeah, let's throw you right in there.
That's true.
We need to see him again, though. I'm excited to see him back whenever that happens. I know he was injured, so.
Mm-hmm. He just pulled out of it, right?
Yeah, I forget against who. It was a good one.
Yeah, that fight was a scrap. And then they both.
I think they rebook.
Oh, I hope so.
I think they're trying to rebook it for July, from what I hear. Mm-hmm. I haven't confirmed both sides, but I think maybe someone already reported that. Better arm bars, Ngannou or Dern? It's got to be Dern.
I'm going to go with Dern just of level competition.
Yeah, that's
sure. 100%.
I go with Dern. And Dern's armbar was technically very, very pretty too. Zingano's was great too. But belly down armbars scare the crap out of me. They go on so tight. Dern, level competition at Dern. And just not want to say the ease that Dern did it with, but just. Just precision. I don't know. Just be technically perfect. Just great. Man, Dern. I remember watching her fight. Was it LFA or RFA at the time or whatever? Legacy maybe. And
LFA.
And I was just thinking like, dude, she's not very good. I mean, yeah, she's a good jiu-jitsu, but holy moly, her working at Perillo at Ruka, down the Ruka gym down in Southern California. Man, she is much better. And she looks so, her arms look so jacked. I mean, yeah, it's not even an issue of her making 115 anymore. That was like the big storyline. You can't know she's coming in at flyweight to fight strawweights, you know? If Dern continues this progression, she is a contender. I can't. It's just it's too far a leap to say she's gonna beat Rose Namajunas or she's gonna wipe the floor of Wei Li or Joanna or anything. But that's why I love the Dern Joanna fight. It's like, all right, let's do it, man. We're ready.
I'll do it if they book it. I'm in. It's fair to say that.
For the podcast listeners, what can you read it?
I think even the podcast listeners know they can feel it. It is in regards to Julian Marquez's call out, and if there's one thing we've learned about Julian Marquez is that you never know what's going to happen. Like, you never know what's going to come out of his mouth.
That's what it is, and that's why I don't hate the call out, because what did we talk about before, Casey? What do we like at a post? What do we like in post-fight interviews, Casey?
Just be yourself.
Be yourself, man. Embrace your inner ninja.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. Do a Power Rangers pose and then call off to play pickleball against the Chiefs. Now, everyone, guess what? Guess what happens the next time he has a post-fight press conference? We're all going to be like, what's he going to say? What's he going to say? And now his post-fight interviews are must-watch television. Love it. Keep making it weird. Never be – don't F the people that say that was a wasted call out. Forget that, man. Now, what if he goes and plays pickleball against Patrick Mahomes? Is anyone in the UFC not in Conor McGregor a bigger deal than the United States than Patrick Mahomes? No. Patrick Mahomes is an NFL MVP Super Bowl champion. And Julian Marquez, a middleweight Michael Blade pickleball with him? Come on. Like,
I'll just say this.
Good job, Julian Marquez. I love it.
Yeah, I can only name one football player, and it's actually Patrick Mahomes. I can't.
Boom.
Maybe Tom Brady. I can name like two players. That's all I can name. But I know Patrick Mahomes is.
There you go. Good job, Julian Marquez. Don't everyone that said, man, wait, wait the call out. Don't listen to him.
And fools. I didn't hate the call out because I shared a photo of me playing badminton after this, because it was my most liked tweet of the night. A picture of me playing badminton. Because I love badminton. Badminton rules.
Love it. What was the biggest story in terms of not outside of title fights? What was the biggest post-fight interview of the last few months, Mike, that generated the most numbers?
Marquez.
Nope. Dominic Cruz. And who did he call out? Did he call out an actual fighter? Oh, nope.
Yeah. Nope.
Hans Mollenkamp, to the point where people on this site made me ask about Hans Mollenkamp 2 weeks after the fact. Good job, Julian Marquez. Keep doing your thing.
See, yeah, anyone can call out a fighter.
Yeah.
That's easy. Come on, Mike. Can you just call out a random dude on the street and get people talking?
What if, like, now you can call out whoever he wants? He called it Miley Cyrus, interacted with him. Patrick Mahomes interacted. All three responded to him on Twitter.
Oh, Mahomes. All three. Mahomes responded?
Mahomes is like, let's do it. Meet me here. Kelsey was like, we can settle this up. And then Tyreek Hill was like, I'm
even
in.
Tyreek Hill.
All three.
He tagged himself in.
Marquez. Miley Cyrus responded to you, and three Super Bowl champions responded to you. Do your thing, man. F the haters. Embrace your inner ninja and keep doing Power Rangers poses.
That's very impressive. He's going to
start picking people off in every sport. What's next?
Boom.
Cringe sells.
Hey, Rory McIlroy, let's play some frisbee golf or some disc golf.
Rory McIlroy, I will beat you in Pictionary. Let's do it.
Oh, I love Pictionary.
I am in. Oh, Sean White, what do you have, an Olympics to train for? Me, you, charades.
Foursquare, let's go.
I would F right these now. Guys up
Foursquare.
In categories.
Foursquare would be a banger. Scattergories. Yes. Like, come on, man. Julian Marquez, and we're talking about it.
Yeah, we're talking about it. We're not talking about him winning extra 50K or getting a great knockout.
He put a human being to sleep.
And that's not even heart. Important. Like, whatever. Let's talk pickleball.
I love it. I love it. Julian Marquez, do your thing. That was not a wasted call out.
You know what? Fans are silly. You know what? You know what, Jose? What's I take up, back my sigh. I take my sigh back.
Yeah.
Reverse sigh.
There you
it's
go.
Back in. It's back in.
That's funny. Yeah, dude. I want Julie Marquez to be in like everything. Like, just call everyone.
Get him on AEW. That guy, he's a personality. I'm gonna work on getting him for What the Heck sooner rather than later.
Oh yeah.
Just because it's an important question to ask, but I don't want to go back to John Dignan again. But here we go.
John D. I don't know.
I'm not even. All we know. Yeah, I can't even answer that question because Kevin Holland could fight in 3 weeks. Who the hell knows?
Okay.
Like, what if Uriah Hall gets hurt and they're like, hey, Chris Weidman, do you want to fight Kevin Holland? He's like, okay.
Under the assumption it's not another short notice fight, full camp, you know, and let's call it, you know, 4.5 months from now, whatever. I mean, a lot of people, he's going to get out-wrestled by 170ers. It's like, well, yeah, but he's getting out-wrestled by 85ers who aren't known to be wrestlers, you know? So I hope it's a welterweight. I really want to see his full potential in there. And if he can cut, I mean, he weighed in again under what, 183 or something again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's in what Marvin looked probably a solid 200 in there. That's, you know, at least. Yeah, I want to see Holland as full. I've seen enough of this, you know, welterweight Holland fighting middleweights. You know, I think we've kind of done that. And that's a short notice fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see it too. I mean,
Hamzat.
Some fun scraps at Hamzat. 70. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Hamzat. That's the fight, or you do, man. That's the fight.
Or you do Holland, but you could still do Holland Perry and it would be all right.
Yeah, ooh. Either one. I'm in for either of those. I think the Hamzat fight would be the most interesting because like Perry's what, like as you said, he's lost a bunch, and Hamzat and Holland have that very, I don't know how true that story is, but it's like a dangerous ground to walk. To like, just there's some racial connotations in there, so they could break some brick in there, and Kevin Holland will sell that fight. You guys know the story I'm talking about, right? He called
Hamzat called the lobby thing. Yeah,
he called Kevin to help.
Yeah,
and told him to like get him a coffee or something like that. And I was like, oh no! But like that was Kevin's point. I don't know if it was like lost in translation or something, but it was not great.
Has Hamzat
didn't sound great?
Has he updated anyone on his health recently?
He's been calling people out and he's saying June, July, but the UFC hasn't said anything.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
So it's not up to the it's not up to Hamzat right now.
Yeah. All right, a couple more.
Yeah, he was calling out he was calling out Magny a bunch.
Yeah, and Magny seemed in, but now it's Neil on Neil because Neil Magny said he wants the fight, but he's not going to put his fight career on hold waiting.
Yeah,
which is fair, more than fair.
How much of that hype train is still here? I mean, it's
it will be back when he comes back, for sure.
Think so?
I agree.
Yeah, okay. Because we're talking about him now, and he doesn't even have a fight.
Yeah, but we're talking about facing a guy coming. Whatever. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
It hasn't even been a year since he made his UFC debut, which is even crazier to think about.
What the hell?
All right, a couple more questions before we call it.
Ooh.
Mr. Heck?
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Did you get the ESPN notification too?
No, I got the "Do you want to talk to Julian Marquez this week?" text.
Okay. Oh,
and there you go. How many more fights does Jack Shore and Joe Selecki need to win to get a top 15 opponent in their respective divisions? I would say
it's going to be a bit for Selecki because lightweight is deep.
I think it's I mean, Dana. Here's the thing, Dana White basically said, because he did the, you know, if you don't know now you know thing, and he chose this fight, and they said said like
Selecki Miller.
He picked Selecki Miller, uh-huh. And he said essentially like, we think Joe Selecki's the real deal. If he can, we're throwing him in there with Jim Miller, just to see if he's ready for top 15 competition. So in Dana's eyes, this was kind of a fight to like maybe get him to that point. So I don't know. I would say they're probably in similar spots right now.
Yeah.
Considering like the divisions are in.
Bantamweight is hard. Bantamweight's real hard right now too.
Jack Shore definitely has a longer way to go, I feel. But Joe Selecki.
Here's the thing I think that like in terms of what makes, obviously watching fights and like how like wins and losses matter. I think what Jack Shore has going for him is he has the Cage Warrior Championship, and he is a big deal in the UK. So he could get big fights for the UK audience, like when eventually the world opens up, and all of a sudden he could, like Arnold Allen has 8 wins in a row. He has the longest win streak in the division, but he's not high ranked because he just hasn't had those big opportunities. And then we're about, like, Hamzat almost got to fight freaking the number 3 welterweight in the world just because he was popular right there. So I think Jack Shore might, His road might be shorter just in terms of he's popular, and the UFC might want to get the marketing machine behind him sooner, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's possible. But again, you gave him a stiff test tonight.
Yeah.
Really close fight with Hunter.
Fun fight.
It's not going to get any easier. at 35 right now. Like if you threw him in there with Montel Jackson next, I mean, that's just a ridiculous fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy fight. Yeah.
And the Cage Warriors champs have not done great lately in the UFC, and Jack Shore has proven that wrong. He's like the only one.
Yeah, Shore looked good, man. The striking's getting much better.
Are we not? Is beating Jim Miller not the same anymore? Is it just not mean very much?
No, we all decided. Do you remember we had this conversation on when Neil Magny lost? Derek Brunson, the Derek Brunson Holland fight. One of the questions was, is Derek Brunson the best gatekeeper in UFC history? And we all agreed it was Jim Miller. So like this, beating Jim Miller is what gets you to that next level. So I think it was a perfect win.
Oh, it was. I think coming into it, I thought I was kind of with Dana. I thought Selecki and Miller was going to be a fight of the night. I thought it was going to be. I think even Cruz was saying the same thing. He's like, oh, we kind of were hoping for this crazy grapple fest, and we got grappling, just not the fest part. I thought Joe Selecki was going to win, and I can't really take too much out of it. You know, just another fight. Like maybe Joe Selecki versus Vince Pichel. You know, two guys who just beat up Jim Miller. I don't know. Where's Vince Pichel?
I'm in.
Yeah. There's a lot of fights for them.
Vince Pichel is making stupid United States jokes at British people on national television.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Take one, two more questions. Oops, wrong one.
Oh, great.
Selecki Gillespie would be fun.
On an unrelated MMA note, JD Martinez just tested positive for COVID.
Oh, no.
Who?
The Red Sox guest hitter.
Oh.
We're
talking real sports?
Oh, yeah. That's brutal. He's been raking, too.
And Casey, I know you'll like this for... I'm basing that off of nothing. Alex Rodriguez is buying the Timberwolves.
Of course he is.
Cool.
Yeah, right. I'm basing that on nothing.
That's like that. Random millionaire Hall of Famer buys random basketball team. Cool.
It's like I like going to random sporting. Like we went to a Nets Nuggets game. Signed up. We went to a Nets Nuggets game, Mike, with Casey. It was like me, Casey, Esther, and a couple of our media members. And Casey's like, I don't know any of these players. And it was obviously like Jokic and D'Angelo Russell and Jamal Murray were all playing. He goes, I don't know who any of these people are. And he's like, whoever comes in next, whoever checks in next is my favorite basketball player for the rest of my life. And he's like, I'm like, that's dangerous. And naturally, Jared Dudley checked in. So Casey's
I'm just screaming, and, Dudley,
Dudley. And immediately got two fouls in like 3 minutes.
I'm pretty sure
he Boston College's own.
He heard me rooting for him, though. He felt, I remember he was so bad. I was looking at Esther. I was like, "Can I play in the NBA? it's like, am I good enough?"
Oh, that was a fun night. That was in Denver.
I remember that.
Oh man. All right, I think we've accomplished what we need to accomplish here. Now we're gonna start going down a whole different topic. Yeah. In a whole different rabbit hole that I don't know if people are quite ready for. But listen,
that made me cry a little bit, Jose, thinking about that. I remember now. I'm actually a little teary.
Get Casey. So if you're looking for something to give Casey when it's his birthday, get him a Jared Dudley jersey.
Ooh.
And you'll be good to go.
Hey, you got more you importantly, hold on. Before we sign off, more importantly, because we didn't do a preview show for it, former Bellator fighter Bobby Lashley defends his title today. Ann Stiller and new at WrestleMania.
Who's he facing?
Drew McIntyre, right? The Scottish psychopath.
Wait, who's the champ? Which one?
Bobby Lashley.
Oh, Ann Stiller. Drew. Yeah.
Champion.
Yeah.
Drew's winning. No, you kidding me? Drew's winning.
Bobby's got this.
Drew McIntyre wins. Done deal. And new. Mania night one going down. Shane McMahon's in a steel cage match. You know he's flying off of something. That should be
Shayna
fun.
Shayna Baszler also will be doing the thing probably tomorrow, I think. So UFC fighter. Yeah, another former UFC fighter doing the damn thing.
I'm probably going to watch it now. I wasn't going to watch night one now.
You don't want to watch Sasha and Bianca? That's going to be a scrap.
Is TakeOver tonight?
No, it was yesterday.
No, it's over.
I missed TakeOver. Jeez.
More importantly, former A-side co-host Big E puts his Intercontinental Championship on the line against, and you know what country's been tearing up the MMA scene right now, Casey? That's right, Nigeria.
Yeah.
So who's he putting his title on the line against? Nigeria's own Apollo Crews tomorrow.
I think he's got this. He was on the A-side.
That's tough, man. That's true.
I love the WWE because Apollo Crews is like just a normal, jacked, huge athletic guy. And
he's
like
not
3 weeks
Nigeria,
later, he's a Nigerian prince. I still want to know what the Nigerian drum match is. I'm very, very intrigued by what that whole thing is.
So everyone,
but I'm looking forward to it.
A-side up for Big E.
RKO out of nowhere. Yes.
There we go.
Oh, all right. Man, we're getting out of here.
Playing the outro this music again.
This is the real one. No more encores for Jose, for Casey. I am Mike Heck. AK and I back tomorrow for On to the Next One, doing some matchmaking. Until then, we'll see ya. Have a good night, everybody. Enjoy WrestleMania. If that's your cup of tea, we'll see ya.
Enjoy your evenings, fight fans. An evening.
Yes.
Read a book. Watch some wrestling.
Wrestling. Want to get fucked like a monkey with American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.